Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, folks.
Welcome to the Hockey Guys Podcast. My name's Hunter Crowder. My co-host, Chris Shannon. Our music didn't work today. Today we're going to play Here I Come by The Roots. I like that song. It was featured in Superbad for all you 20-somethings out there, but fortunately we won't be playing the song today, so I guess we're going to have to fill another 30 seconds of content. Chris, how's it going today?
Pretty good. Just finished watching that Pittsburgh-Detroit game and saw the Pittsburgh get dominated.
Yeah, what a butt kicking. 5-1 for the Wings. It wasn't even Jimmy Howard in that. Been a struggling the past few days for the Pens. 5-1 today, lost 2-0 last night against Boston. I mean, they sit third right now in that Metropolitan Division, but, you know, Pittsburgh's, like, every single year, they just continually be a frustrating hockey club.
There's something about that team that just doesn't make me like them. I don't think they're going to go far in this year's playoffs. I mean, they'll likely play the New York Islanders, and I think the Islanders have a much overall better team. And it's weird because the Pittsburgh Penguins, they have the two best hockey players in the whole world in Evgeny Malkin and Crosby. And it just kind of shows. I mean, you can have two great players, but that doesn't mean your team's going to be great. Fleury, I hope he proves himself that he's a good player in the playoffs. But he hasn't shown anything. I mean, he's been hot this season, but he still had his moments of, oh, my God, this guy's supposed to be a starter. I don't know if this team is going to be able to go far in the playoffs. Still, I don't see it.
One thing about Pittsburgh that continues to baffle me is that, yeah, you've got Crosby and Malkin, who you could argue are the two best players on the planet. And yet, for some reason, say for that year in 2009, they've just never been able to put it together. I mean, they've never been able to add the extra layers of depth that teams need to make it in the playoffs. And it's just so frustrating when you see, like, let's look at this in the grand picture. We're right now witnessing probably the best player of our generation, Sidney Crosby. Would you agree?
Not for sure.
And what have we gotten out of him other than, yeah, we've got the cup. He's won Art Ross. He's got one Hart trophy. And he's got one Rocket Richard trophy. Like, if you have to look at Sidney Crosby's career overall, like, it's just disappointing that we haven't gotten as much out of him. Not speaking on his behalf. Obviously, he's one of the most productive players of this generation, and he can only do what one man can do. But we've only seen, you know, one cup out of this kid. We've only seen this core of, or this group really only put it together the one time, and then they lost against the Red Wings the year prior. It's just so frustrating to see this Pittsburgh Penguins team that is littered with generational talent in Crosby and Malkin, not to mention Chris Letang, who people still don't give enough respect, despite the fact that he can put up numbers with any other D in the league. They've got these tremendous players. And if you look at their teams, though, take away a few Marc-Andre Fleury stinkers, and this team could be way better than what we've known them for.
I mean, Letang, they wanted him traded last year, the fan base. I mean, you can't trade a guy like that. He's your building block off that defense group. I think the main struggle with that team is their defense. I mean, Paul Martin, he's old. He's getting older. The Simon Dupre for Ben Lovejoy, I still don't understand that trade. I don't know why they did that. I just don't see a great defense group in there. And their third and fourth line, I mean, Steve Downey and Maxime Lapierre, how many times have they taken penalties at the worst time? And they just lose the game for their team. I mean, Steve Downey, he must have lost so many games for that Pittsburgh Penguin team. I would not be playing that guy. He's at 200 penalty minutes. Every game, if someone goes, like, touches him, he goes crazy. He'll get a game misconduct. This team, even when they played against Philly a couple years ago in that crazy series with all these fights and hitting, I mean, this team hasn't grown up yet, and it feels like they're never going to with this group. What do you do? I mean, you've got the building blocks.
I didn't realize that Downey. I didn't realize Downey has 200 penalty minutes. And
he just hit that last.
Like, it really is, like, especially in the last decade, we very seldom see players get 200 penalty minutes, other than Antoine Roussel or oh my God, I'm drawing a blank, but he was Zenon Konopka, who made a career off of 1 year deals. Like you said, like Downey, he hasn't been the player they thought he'd be. Although, what were you expecting? I mean, he's got 12 goals this year, and you're not going to get much. Going back to that blue line, what I do like about Pittsburgh's blue line is that they have a lot of young pieces that can develop. I remember seeing Olli Maatta when he played for the London Knights, as well as Scott Harrington. Those were two very dominant players in junior hockey. But like you said with the Ben Lovejoy trade, I didn't understand that. I mean, wouldn't you rather have Simone Dupre? Is he not a player that, A, is younger, B, is just as productive, and C, I would argue, plays better minutes than Lovejoy? Like, the only rationale with that trade is that they're going with the devil that they know, and that they had Lovejoy, I think it was three years ago before they traded him to the Ducks. I mean, like, I look at them right now, and I'm just going through their hockey DB right now. Scott Harrington, I think, is going to develop into a very good player. Derek Pouliot is still young. Simone Dupre, he's gone. Like, they traded a 23-year-old. He was already a productive player. And, you know, we've mentioned, too, the big acquisition for Washington, how they added Brooks Orpik. As much as I didn't think Brooks Orpik was still a top four NHLer, I hate to say it, but his impact is being needed right now on Pittsburgh. I mean, he seemed like a core player who was getting big minutes and was helping the Pens. And right now, he's helping contribute to the Capitals, which we'll get to later. But they seem like they really need him on that blue line.
Well, isn't he the exact type of defenseman you need on that team? I mean, Rob Scuderi, I think they thought he was going to take over Orpik's numbers. I mean, Rob Scuderi, what is he, like 35 now? He's way too old. Yeah, he was great with Pittsburgh when they won the Cup. I think it was in 2010 or 29 or 2009. He was great then, but this is like 5 years later. This guy's old. Matt Niskanen, I still don't understand why they didn't re-sign that guy. I knew he was going to make a whole bunch of money, but he's the guy you want on your team. Derek Pouliot, I've watched him in the World Juniors. I've watched him a lot. I think he's overrated. I don't think his defensive game has at all gone to what we all thought it would. People were saying, oh, yeah, his defensive game will come. He's already got the offense down. Now let's work on his defensive game. I mean, he's been up with Pittsburgh. He's done fairly well, but defensively, he really hasn't shown much. And knowing Jim Rutherford, he's probably going to trade him next year for a big rental.
Yeah, I think Pouliot, I remember the big hype out of him in Portland was that he was a part of the team that team produced a lot of points. Regardless of where you were on that roster, you were able to get a lot of points if you played there. You got to give the guy credit, though. I mean, like, for a 21-year-old, he's averaging a little less than point a game in the AHL right now. And like you said, he still needs to hone some of his talent. I think I see a lot of similarities with, like, Jake Gardner, with a guy who has this offensive ability. You know that he can do things with the puck that the 30-year-old stay-at-home defenseman can't do. But Pittsburgh's in a position now where they can't have a young guy who's developing and is one of those players where, you know, if he turns the puck over, well, you have to have the puck to turn it over, let him make mistakes. They're not in a position to do that. And as much as I hate to say it, and as much as I've actually declined on stay-at-home D and inclined on puck movers, Pittsburgh needs guys right now who can shut them down. Pittsburgh needs guys who can stop the puck from getting to them. Because right now, I mean, this afternoon alone, 5-1 to the Red Wings, and you're in a position right now where you're trying to gain ground on the Islanders and the Rangers in that Metropolitan Division. That's my last point on the Pens, but just overall, when I look at this team, it's just frustrating to think that we've only seen one cup out of this core, and we, including Crosby's injuries from a few years ago, we've missed out on some of the prime years, the best player of our generation.
Yeah, and I mean, Crosby's still young, but I totally agree with you. With this, how it's structured, it should be a dynasty team, and it just really hasn't shown that. And it's frustrating, even on the outside of not being a fan. You love Crosby because you're Canadian. We all love Crosby. But we just haven't seen enough from this guy. And that's pretty sad that we're saying that because he's won every trophy alive and won everything. But we all want to compare him to Gretzky, and it's too hard to compare anyone to Gretzky. So Gretzky is Gretzky, and Crosby is Crosby. They're two different guys. But we'll see. You know, he still has a long time in his career, and maybe Pittsburgh will surprise us. This Eastern Conference is wide open. We have no idea what's going to happen.
absolutely. Moving on. You know what? Let's talk a little Rangers. The Rangers are playing today against the Florida Panthers, our beloved Cats, who just continue to keep falling. I know we're going to talk about the Metropolitan Division, but I feel like Florida's, they're digging themselves a hole, and I don't think they're going to catch up to either Boston or Washington. Good for the Bruins, by the way, for catching up to the Capitals. I mean, it shows how good they've been playing as of late. The big win yesterday against Pitt, but I don't think the Panthers are going to make it. But anyway, Panthers playing the Rangers today at 5 o'clock. And the New York Rangers, last year's Eastern Conference champion, they went to 6 with the Kings. I still think they were one of the most exciting teams to watch last year. They were possession monsters coming out of that conference. Alan Vigneault doing great things with the Rangers. Chris, what are your thoughts on the Blue Shirts?
I think it's everyone in the Eastern Conference versus the Rangers. I think there's a different level between these two teams, or every team compared with the Rangers. If you have a favorite going into for the Stanley Cup in the Eastern Conference, it's the Rangers. That defense, I mean, that's got to be one of the best defense groups out there. Their forward group, it's totally solid. I mean, Carl Hagelin, Chris Kreider, Martin St. Louis, I think they're third-line guys. I mean, even if they're second-line guys, that'd be first-line group out on a normal team. I mean, they're doing so well. They're on eight. Their last 10 games, they're 8-1-1. They don't even have their goaltender in. Erik Lundqvist hasn't been playing for a month. I mean, Talbot has been – I just can't – this guy, they signed him for 1 year. You know, they're just thinking, okay, he's going to play like 10 games because Lundqvist will play the most of the season. And this guy is acting like a number one. He's had crazy numbers. I mean, this New York Ranger team, we all were surprised with them last year. But this year, we're not going to be surprised if we see this team in the Stanley Cup Finals and maybe even win it. I see them as one of the best teams in the Eastern Conference. With that speed, I mean, I don't know many teams that can defend that.
Hockey Guys Podcast with Hunter Crowder and Chris Shannon. You know, I've enjoyed watching the Rangers this year, and they've always been a team, honestly, the last 4 or 5 years. I'm not turning the channel when I watch the New York Rangers. I mean, like you said, they've won 4 straight. They're going for the 5th today against the Cats. Rick Nash is having, I wouldn't even necessarily call it a bounce back year, because I think a lot of people look too far into Nash's struggles in the playoffs and his struggles to produce. But, you know, this year he's got 39 goals. He's on pace to more than likely be the Rocket Richard Trophy winner. Stamkos might have something to say about that. But, like, especially after last season where the team went to the Cup Finals and Nash only scored 3 goals, and a lot of people were getting on him about, is he productive anymore? Why is he already on the downslope of his career? He just turned 30. What the hell? But I think that not only being with Martin St. Louis, who is still producing at age 39, and I can't even fathom that, St. Louis and Jaromir Jagr are in their own stratosphere of hockey phenom. But looking at Rick Nash this year, he's really impressed me. It seems like on every single shift, it seems like he's going to score. I haven't seen many off nights from him. Obviously, Derek Brassard, he's just a very good player, too. Like you were going through the forward court, Derek Stepan, Matt Zuccarello, who they locked down long-term, key signing. Chris Kreider as well. And, you know, another signing they had in the summer that a lot of people criticized because of his age, but Dan Boyle this year has actually been good. Like, he's been productive. He's helped this team. He's been a key cog on their blue line. And if you just going down that blue line alone, I mean, other than Chicago and maybe L.A. a few years ago, I mean, just think about it. Mark Stahl, Dan Girardi, Ryan McDonough, adding Keith Yandel at the deadline. Not to mention having Dan Boyle. This team is very good. Like, they are a very good blue line. And you were mentioning on the last show how they needed more of a stay-at-home guy than a Keith Yandel. But I think he's the perfect addition because it seems like Dan Boyle's been taking on the responsibility of offensive defensemen. And Kevin Klein's been a great player for them this year. He's pretty tough, too. People don't understand how tough Klein is. But adding a guy, adding someone like a Keith Yandel, that's going to help this team go deep. And I think if you look at their blue line, especially out of the Eastern Conference, I don't think anyone in the East has a blue line comparable to them. I mean, you can make some arguments for some teams, but the Rangers are the best blue line in the East. And like you said, like, if I had to pick a team right now that's going to the Cup Finals, I mean, you can make the argument for Montreal if they just ride on Carey Price. You can drop the – you can say the Islanders, they're the feel-good story of the year, which we'll get to right after. But I look at the Rangers as the team to beat. Chris, you said it.
All right, sorry, man.
I mean, like you said, the Rangers, they just – it's with Yandle, their power play was a bad – like, that was one of their weak spots of this team, their power play. And getting a guy like Yandle, getting a guy like Boyle, I mean, they're those are like the power play quarterbacks in the NHL. I mean, we've already seen Yandle with him there, but this team's already gotten much better on the power play. Derek Broussard, I mean, this guy, he – went from being a guy in Columbus with, oh, he's supposed to be a good prospect, but he won't be much of anything. Like, he'll just be a good prospect, and hopefully he'll become that second-line center, maybe a third-line center. They traded him to New York, part of the Rick Nash deal. And this guy, he's taken on a huge role. I mean, he's got to be one of the most underrated players in the NHL right now. He's playing on a great line with Zuccarello and Nash. And he's putting up numbers that people aren't even looking at. Like, I look at Twitter, I look at everything. All these New York Ranger fans aren't even talking about this guy. I mean, he's a very small guy, too, and his speed, his hockey smarts, which is something a lot of players in the NHL actually lack, I find, is the hockey smarts of where to put the puck. And with his small figure, I mean, you need to know, to be in the NHL, you need to be able to know where to pass the puck. And he's just one of the best players out there that no one talks about. I mean, he's kind of like the Louis Erickson of 2012. That no one talks about this guy, but he's underrated. This New York team is scary, and as a Habs fan, I think that's the one team.
I like that comparable. I like that.
Yeah. Yeah. I, as a Habs fan, I'm scared of the New York Rangers this year. Last year, I mean, if Carey Price was in the net, I'm not going to bring it up. I'm not going to say that. If he was in the net last year, I think Montreal would have won. But this year, even with Carey Price in the net, they've got a lot of options in New York with defense, goaltending, score. They have so many different ways of winning. I mean, I don't know how Montreal can, or Tampa, or teams like that can actually beat the Rangers this year.
And we'll see. And like you said, yeah. Rangers are my pick right now.
They're mine too.
And like, the only other team I think would have, that could compete with them is the Lightning. And a lot of people will say, well, they haven't been there yet. They don't have that veteran leadership. But I think when you have a guy like Steven Stamkos, leadership can kind of go out the window because that guy is the epitome of just a horse. Let's talk about the New York Islanders. And let's talk about a team that for so many years has been the joke or has been the punchline to many NHL jokes. I mean, the Islanders were a laughingstock for years. They were crap for years. They drafted John Tavares, and everyone was baffled when he re-signed with them. And right now, they're one of the best teams in the NHL. They've got 90 points in the standings. They've been winning on a very consistent basis. They have right now, for a minimum of 500 minutes played, of the 19 guys on their lineup that have at least 500 minutes, 17 of them are at least 51% possession-wise. This team has taken a utter 180, and I can't even lie, they've become one of my favorite teams in the NHL. I mean, the New York Islanders, holy crap, adding Nick Leddy and Johnny Boychuk, then re-signing them, and a lot of people look at that term and say 7 years is a lot of years, especially for defensemen with some miles on them. But right now, what are you to argue? What are you going to say? Not to mention you have Travis Hamonic, who is locked. He signed one of my favorite contracts in sports, a 10-year, $40 million deal. He's going to be making $4 million a year in 2020. Chris, talk about the Islanders for a sec, because I'm really excited about this team. I'm really excited that we get to talk about them today.
Yeah, I'm happy for that organization. You know, finally they have a team that's going to be good. And it's not like they're only going to be good this year. I mean, they're going to be good next year. They're going to be good in the upcoming years. They've got Anders Lee. They've got Brock Nelson. They've got Calvin DeHaan. They've got Travis Hamonic, Thomas Hickey. I mean, you guys, they're building blocks off your franchise. And they have the best, I would say, one of the best top five players in the NHL in John Tavares. I mean, They played Montreal last night, and I was watching this team, and they are just a solid, hard-hitting, fast team. And that's something, the Eastern Conference, we have a lot of fast teams. It's full of fast teams. But other than the Boston Bruins, which, I mean, I think the Islanders are a much better team, there isn't a team that can hit and play fast and actually do well with that. I think Pittsburgh tries to do that, and they just can't do it. They'll take penalties, and that's not their type of game. But the New York Islanders, I mean, that fourth line, I think it's one of my favorite fourth lines to watch in the NHL. And Matt Martin, Casey Tsidikas, and Cal Clutterbuck, they hit, they can skate, they can penalty kill, they're great defensively. I mean, this team, they've got the depth. They've got the one scorer that you know is going to score every game and shine. And Kyle Okposo is not far behind that. Their second line, I mean, that's the one little spot that you wish there was a little help on with that second line. Franz Nielsen, I don't know if he's a second line center, but he's still a great player. And that defense, this team, if they didn't add Johnny Boychuk and Nicoletti, I mean, where would this team be? Maybe not even in the playoffs. We wouldn't be talking about how good they've been. But they've got the building blocks on that defense. Maybe this is not their year this year, but I'm telling you, in the next couple of years, if they keep these guys and add a little bit more, this can be a team that will be good in the upcoming years and stay consistently well in Brooklyn.
I am happy that it's the last season in the Isle, and one of my favorite followers on Twitter is Justin Bourne, who works for the Store Mobile app. And Justin was a former professional player who bounced around. And his father played for the Islanders and was a part of those dynasties. And the way he's been covering this team over the years, and to see the admiration from him while he's been keeping up with the Islanders, it really is something that puts a smile on my face. I mean, I love watching this team. You mentioned the fourth line with Matt Martin and Cal Clutterbuck. I mean, I remember watching Matt Martin with the Suns thing, and he was this guy who would piss everyone off, and he'd hit every single shift, just finish his hit every single time. People hated him. And he really was one of those guys where you can argue guys who run around and try to get their cookies in the hit column, those guys aren't productive. But he was someone that was never out of position. He was always making the right play. It wasn't always the most offensive play, but he made the smart play. And while a lot of people say that the guy who makes the smart plays is the guy who can't make the offensive play, Martin proved that. You know, he's more than capable of staying in the NHL lineup, not to mention being one of the most physical guys in the Eastern Conference. And Cal Clutterbuck, I mean, if I'm not mistaken, he has the single-season hits record. I mean, the guy is a wrecking ball. And what the Islanders have done is they've put their players in a position where you've got top offensive talent up top. And like you said, John Tavares being a top-five player, I think he's one of the best players in the league. I mean, John Tavares, it's just incredible. But they've set it up where they have so much depth on their blue line, and they also have a fourth line that it doesn't have to be uber offensive. They can just do their thing. It doesn't matter. And so that's my last point. Yeah, we're going to move on because we only have 7 minutes left on the show on the Hockey Guys podcast with Thunder Crab and Chris Shannon. Chris, last thoughts on the Isle?
Excuse me?
Your final thoughts on the Islanders before we move on.
Oh, sorry. Well, I mean, the Isles, like, that's a team, we'll probably see them play Pittsburgh in the playoffs. I mean, and when we see them play Pittsburgh, we're going to not be surprised because this team they lost against Pittsburgh a couple years ago, but that was, like, one of the best playoff series. I think it was 2 years ago, yeah. It was one of the best playoff series because this Isles team, no one thought could beat this stacked Pittsburgh team, even the best shot they could. And I'm telling you, this Islanders team, they're going to surprise some people again this year. They're not going to go far. They may get past the first round, but that's a win. I mean, if you get past the first round, you're giving the Islanders and fans something to cheer about because they're going to make the playoffs. And it's kind of a feel-good story because this fan base is finally going to get a good team, even if it's the last year. You're going to get a good team and you're going to go in for a nice run.
Absolutely. And honestly, I wish nothing but success for the Islanders. I hope that they do good things this year. The last thing we're going to talk about before we sign off for today, there's some big news out in the Western Conference. Sharks former captain, now one of the dozen or so alternates on the San Jose Sharks, Joe Thornton was quoted as saying Doug Wilson should shut his mouth after comments came out about Wilson explaining the stripping of Bolton's captaincy. A pretty interesting situation, because I feel like for a lot of players around the league, we were talking about this before the show, they wouldn't be able to get away with this. But the fact that a guy like Joe Thornton, who is widely respected around the league, Joe Thornton is one of those guys that everyone around the league has a positive thing to say. That guy is just the definition of a savvy veteran NHLer. Chris, I'll get your thoughts before I say something. What do you think about Joe Thornton?
I mean, he's the classiest guy out there in the NHL. I mean, he is the veteran. He's the definition of a veteran in the NHL. And he's the only guy, like you said, that can say this to a general manager. I mean, this San Jose team this summer is going to be sad to watch, because it's going to be exploded. Tom McClellan's going to be fired. Wilson's going to be fired. Thornton and Marlowe, I totally see them being traded, because how do you keep a guy like these guys here to go through a rebuild? You don't. That's what's going to happen. I mean, Joe Thornton, you could like, who takes away the captaincy of a player and then keeps him there? And then they don't assign another captain. I mean, he's pretty much already the captain of that team, even with the seat gone. It's a horrible situation happening in the San Jose area. And the team, I think, is better than they actually are. And Wilson just said, you know what, I'm going to lose my job. It kind of sounded like, I'm just going to trade all these players away. He traded a lot of depth away in the deadline, which I was really surprised about. He's on a big playoff run, and he traded a lot of depth for just picks, and just seemed like he was just clearing out the closet, saying, all right, I'm done. Let's just move on. Thornton, I think there's a lot more into the story, and I think Thornton did the right thing, kind of sells out his general manager, because the general manager was a huge bad word to him.
He's an idiot. I mean, Doug Wilson
didn't
put his team in a position to win. And I do feel for the Sharks, because I think when teams lose early in the playoffs, I feel like media and fans try to find reasons for why it happened, and it usually goes to, you know, your typical lack of leadership, lack of experience, this isn't the right core, we have to find different pieces, we can't put these players in this position, yada, yada, yada. But I think that's utter BS. I mean, when you look at that Western Conference, it is tough to win games in the West. Like, it is tough to do anything in the playoffs. So the fact that because they've played against some of the best teams that we've seen in this decade, I mean, when you go up against the Sharks, or when you go up against the Kings and the Blackhawks in the playoffs, what do you expect? You're gonna lose. And if you don't lose, then at least you're going to take them to seven, which they've done. I mean, give the Sharks credit. I don't see them as chokers. I mean, they losing the 3-0 lead against the Kings and the Kings coming back and winning it, that sort of sealed their legacy in general. But this Sharks team isn't chokers. They just face really good teams in the playoffs. And like I said, I feel so bad for Joe Thornton. I mean, after he was traded from Boston to San Jose, it seemed like he was finally comfortable. He was in this hot market. He didn't have to worry about the day-to-day media scramblings, but now in the modern era with social media and everyone knowing where you are at all times, I think honestly, some beat reporter just asked him what he thought. He said his honest thoughts, and before you knew it, it blew up, and now, you know, we're talking about it on our little podcast.
And it's sad because he may never win that cup. I mean, this guy, he's done so much. He's probably one of the best passers in the NHL, and he may never win this cup, and hopefully a good team comes and picks him up. And he'll go where he wants and wins the cup that he deserves.
He's arguably, him and Patrice Bergeron are arguably the best possession players ever, since they've kept track of analytics, since Corsi's been a thing. Thornton's been one of the best players ever. So how can you, at what point you got to really look at yourself and say, okay, is it really a lack of leadership, or is it just, you know, one man can't do it all himself? I mean, like, who are we to criticize Joe Thornton? Like you said, he's one of the best passers of our generation. I mean, last season, in a year where he lost the captaincy, he had 65 assists. Some teams struggle to get players to get 65 points. And he's done nothing but produce at the top level. So it's just frustrating. It really is frustrating.
It's embarrassing. It's embarrassing.
I've got nothing but respect for Joe Thornton. And good for him for saying those comments, because honestly, it doesn't matter. That entire team's going to blow up within an entire offseason. That's our show today, Chris. I had a lot of fun. You can follow Chris on Twitter at Christian. Follow me at Hunter Crowther. And check out thehockeyguys.net. One of the best websites out there. It's awesome. We talk about hockey. Check it out. They said the new is strong in 2 minutes. We got you for breakfast. I'm in the back.